B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
Equal.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You want to go full suck at Felger Friday?
I need some music for that, right?
Like, if you want.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of music?
The Free Friday. Like, how do you, I don't know. How do you start the show? Like something. Well, it was weird. Don't they play a
Pearl Jam song, typically.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of started with that and then roll, but I kind of like
Oh, we need an opening thought.
Oh. Hold on, let me get set up here.
It's Friday.
I'm wiping down. You want to go first or should I?
I'll go first.
Good, and you?
You want me to go?
Yeah, let's get past the pleasantries.
Who wants to go first?
Jimmy, go ahead, release the hounds. I'm all set up.
Your phone lines are open.
I'm wiped
down.
That Rich shirt leave, he's a disgusting human being.
617-779-0985.
Like animals in here.
Call early, call often today on this Friday.
Yep.
We'll leave it open to you.
Sleeves, how you doing? Coffee boy? Coffee house kid?
Coffee house kid. Here's my opening thought, Zill.
Those guys are funny guys on the midday show, aren't they? Seriously, funny guys on the midday show. You can guess already who's not here. Who's not here on Agenda Free Friday? Any guesses, Murray?
There's no mic today, and I just realized, to look it up at the monitor, I'm in the wrong seat.
Yes, you are in the wrong seat. That's why I asked you if you were sitting in that chair, but nonetheless.
Not used to being in the two. I'll figure it out for the next segment.
Yeah, just ignore me, Murray. That's fine. That's why I said, Murray, is that where you're going to sit? He said, yeah.
I saw that usually sit over there. And then I thought, well, okay.
No, it's all right.
Just go now. It'll look great on radio.
Now he just has to wipe down at the other seat, Marshall. That's the whole deal now. He just has to wipe down at the other spot. So here's what we're going to do, actually. We're going to dial up Felger by Skype. He's going to do the show on it. You know what? Screw that. I hate that stupid ass thing, if you want to know the truth. And he's not here, so I'm going to bare my soul. That's a pain in the ass when he does that, for crying out loud. And he goes on remote, and we have to communicate with him over Skype. Part of the whole beauty of doing a radio show together is the eye contact, Murray.
Right.
You know when someone is speaking with you. And by the way, Marshall Hook is here to give us headlines today, filling in for Marshall. But I can look at Marshall, and he knows when it's his turn to speak.
Yeah, you can't feel the beats when you're talking to a monitor.
No, but Felger, when he goes on vacation, likes to work. So he's got to bring his little laptop and his little communication device. He's going to inconvenience the rest of us.
And he's got 8 more of those, by the way, this year.
So we are not going to do that today.
For those keeping score like I am.
There's a contractual limit on those, Jimmy. Is that what you're telling me?
Pretty good if you can get that worked in.
617-779-0985. Agenda-free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life. BernardiAutoGroup.com. So thanks to our friends at the Bernardi Auto Group for sponsoring Agenda Free Friday. And you know how the drill works. Again, 617-779-0985. Jimmy, we can open up the phone lines. Anything you want to touch on from the week, we can certainly do. And we touch on a number of different topics. A lot of Celtics this week. A lot of Kyrie Irving this week. Remember that we had the whole David Pastrnak situation earlier in the week. It feels like that almost didn't happen. We barely talked about it since, right, Murray? But that obviously happened. The Red Sox have reported to camp. A couple of Patriots items. We can hit on all of them. Chris Gasper will be in here at 4 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on a number of things. I know he wrote on the Kyrie Irving situation today. And again, Marshall is here to give us headlines. Who wants to start? Which one of you two wants to start?
Hook?
All right. Here, I'll tell you what I was thinking about. One of the bigger problems facing the Red Sox, not this year, but next year, or at the end of this season, at the end of next, is they have the vast majority of their team is going to become a free agent. J.D. Martinez can opt out. Xander Bogaerts is a free agent. Chris Sale is a free agent. The year after that, you've obviously got Mookie Betts and other guys. I mean, you look around the diamond, they're all free agents. And they have this kind of looming need to re-sign all of these guys or deciding who's going to stay and who's going to go. On the flip side, we're looking at this free agent market where you've got some really big names out there. Most notably, Manny Machado is a guy who has not gotten the deal that he's looking for. And one would assume at this point that he could be had for less than you may have thought you could have gotten him for. So I came up during the email chain. I actually was halfway through the email when I came up with the idea that I've decided the Red Sox should sign Manny Machado and trade Xander Bogaerts. The idea being, There's Manny Machado, who I think we would all agree is a better offensive player than Xander Bogaerts. I mean, he's a dirtbag, but he's a better offensive player than Xander Bogaerts.
But he'd be our dirtbag, Marshall.
Yeah, but we would like him then. He would go from being that dirtbag to being, you know, the new Dustin Pedroia. So great, wonderful. You bring him in, and then you trade Xander Bogaerts, which not only gets rid of that logjam at shortstop, but that actually helps you, in theory, replenish the minor leagues, which you have absolutely depleted under Dave Dombrowski's thing. And then you either use that to trade for somebody and not sign Chris Sale or not, you know, sign one of these guys, or, you know, you do re-sign those guys and you have those depth pieces to trade for somebody later on. But at some point, this team has to address the fact that everyone's going to leave via free agency. And so just this afternoon, I've decided this is the way to do it.
So can I just say, I don't hate it?
Yeah, neither do I.
I don't hate the idea.
I'm not the biggest Machado fan, but yeah, I could see how this could work.
I think the Red Sox have a contract problem. There's a glut of issues here that they have going forward here. I don't know how they're going to keep this group together. They can't pay everybody, and I'm not sure how many of those guys want to stay. I don't hate the idea. Murray, go.
All right, so it's agenda-free Friday, right?
Yes.
So we can pretty much talk about whatever within reason?
Whatever you want.
All right. Because I want to weigh in on the Matt Kuchar story. For those that haven't heard it, quick synopsis. Back in November, Kuchar won some golf tournament you never heard of in Mexico. It earned him $1.3 million. It's apparently customary for golfers on tour to give their caddies a 10% cut of their tournament winnings, which means that his caddy, who was a backup caddy, David Ortiz, not the same guy, should have earned $130,000 for working that week. But instead, he got $5,000, and Kuchar doesn't think he's in the wrong. Clearly he is, but my beef isn't so much with Kuchar as it is with anyone defending him, because this has been kind of like a national story on what's been sort of a slow week nationally in terms of sports stories.
Is the guy's name actually David Ortiz?
It is, yeah. Just a different David Ortiz.
Okay, go ahead.
So I've heard everything from, well, what do you want? It's not his usual caddy, to, oh, it was an agreed-upon contract. What do you want? And morons trying to make it political, because everyone has to try to make things political, and saying things like, well, you're just mad because Kuchar, won all this, and you're against capitalism, and you hate rich people, and it's eat the rich, and blah, 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 blah. All of that's nonsense. If you defend Matt Kuchar, it's this simple. You're a cheap son of a bitch. That's it. Just like him, you're a cheap son of a bitch. You're the type of person who leaves $10 on a $120 dinner bill. You're the guy at a group dinner who wants a separate itemized receipt because
for what you ate.
Yeah, because you didn't have the glass of wine because the table got a bottle and you didn't have one. So I need my own receipt. You've never worked in the service industry. You don't understand or even care about the plight of someone who's worked in the service industry and who's hustling for tips. You've been to Vegas and you won $2,000 at a blackjack table and then you throw the dealer a $5 chip. You're a cheap son of a bitch. That's why you're really defending Kuchar, and that's what you're doing. It has nothing to do with anything else. Just like Matt Kuchar, you're a cheap bastard.
David Ortiz, huh? Unbelievable. I didn't know the guy's name. First name was David.
Yeah.
I saw that story, though. You know, can I just say quickly on that story? Isn't the whole thing kind of one big ball of suck? Like, the only reason we found out about this is because the Ortiz guy went public with it?
Right.
Like, that's kind of a dink move.
Yeah, maybe have a one-on-one conversation with him, you know, talk to other caddies. But yeah, that he also went public with it, probably not a good move.
And the only defense is, we agreed on it ahead of time. Well, you didn't know you were going to win $1.5 million ahead of time, right? If why would you? I mean, it's a 0.38% tip. It's not even a 1%, 0.38% tip.
Well, I didn't, it's what we agreed on ahead of time.
No, Kuchar stiffed him because he knew he could.
So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to, as is often the case from the person sitting in this particular chair, I'm going to defer my opening thought until just a little bit, because there was a little bit of breaking news today in the NBA. The New Orleans Pelicans have fired their general manager, Dell Demps. They have not announced a replacement yet. Is that right?
Correct.
Number of candidates. Potentially, including Danny Ferry, who's been an advisor to the organization down there. And so I made a couple of calls on this earlier, but I think it's a good place to start because obviously this affects Anthony Davis. Devin's in San Diego, I think, wants to touch on this. Go ahead, Devin.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. So if you just look at how he's handled the whole tenure Anthony Davis has been there, who makes your jackass GM Mount Rushmore for this decade? I'd put him and Matt Millen in the same boat. Who are your top five worst GMs?
Okay, I didn't think that's where you're going, Devin, so I'm not going to get on the road of worst five GMs, but the idea that Demps was fired, do you think this alters the Anthony Davis story at all, or the talks, what have you, going forward here into the summer, Murray?
Potentially. You know, this is what has me nervous about it. I mean, it just continues to show what a dumpster fire that whole situation is there, but in terms of the Celtics and them maybe getting Anthony Davis, Well, it feels like, right, that there was some sort of agreed-upon trade that we have to wait for until the summer between the Celtics and the Pelicans for Davis. Maybe that goes out the window now because their general manager is now out of a job.
Do you think Del Demps is fired because of the Anthony Davis situation?
Yeah. What else could it be?
Marshall?
But is it that he didn't trade him or that he's fired because Anthony Davis demanded the trade to begin with? I mean, maybe the overall goal here is we don't actually want to trade this guy. We're going to bring in somebody new to try to make Anthony Davis not want to leave. And so basically they have X amount of time to convince him not to go anywhere. Because ultimately the Celtics can still offer the best package, right? That's what we believe.
So I think it's more the thing that Marshall's talking about than anything else. Like the fact that they've had this guy for a length of time and they haven't been able to put a good team around him. Well, now somebody's got to go. Like, the more that I think about it, and I made some calls.
So it's a last-ditch effort to try to convince him to stay in New Orleans?
Maybe. I mean, if you're them, what do you get to lose? The guy's already said he wants out. Right, he's already said he wants out. So what do you have to lose? Let's shake up the front office, and we're going to have to make a deal here anyway. And I'm not sure Del Demps was the one making the call on who they were going to get back in the deal anyway. And again, I made a couple of calls on this. So my understanding is that Danny Ferry has been an advisor to them down there. He is now a candidate to replace Demps. And on top of it, did you? And I didn't know this. You know, Mickey Loomis, the general manager of the Saints, or a president, or whatever he is with the Saints. Mickey Loomis works for the Pelicans.
I had no idea.
Owned by the same guy, Del Demps reported to Mickey Loomis.
Okay, so is Mickey Loomis the owner?
No, Mickey Loomis.
He oversaw it, is what you're saying.
So, okay. So the same ownership owns both the Saints and the Pelicans, and that woman who's in charge made Mickey Loomis in charge of both of them.
Which I didn't know.
I had no idea until today either.
I didn't know that Mickey Loomis had anything to do with the Pelicans. And I then asked, well, what the hell does Mickey Loomis know about basketball? And I've been told, actually, he knows a little bit about basketball.
Well, it's like baseball boy who works for the Cleveland Browns over there, Dee Podesta.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right, Murray. And so the bottom line is this, though, that I don't think Del Demps alone was empowered to decide what they were going to do with Anthony Davis. First of all, the call of when to trade Anthony Davis and whether to trade him at all and where to trade him, a lot of that is being dictated by ownership. Okay, fine, we're not going to sign the guy. Go find the best deal. Now, did Demps have a say in who they were going to get back? Yes, but Ferry was very involved in the process, from what I'm told, and so was Loomis. So the fact that Demps is gone, these two guys may now end up making the trade, but whoever the GM is still going to have to deal with these two guys, and it may very well be Ferry. The bottom line is this. I'm not sure it affects the Celtics all that much.
I hope not.
I think that they still have the biggest chip out there, which is Jason Tatum, if they want to get Anthony Davis. Now, whether or not Anthony Davis wants to come here is still an issue. That is clearly a factor, and I don't know that is going to change. But in terms of what the Celtics can offer and whether the Pelicans would want it, I'm not sure that's going to change a ton either. In any case, we're off and running. 617-779-0985. We're going to get to some other things here in the coming days. And in fact, one of the things I want to get to, we didn't spend a lot of time on this yesterday because we played a lot of David Price sound. We played a lot of Chris Sale sound. Mookie Betts also spoke yesterday. Mookie Betts also spoke. We'll tell you what he said, and we'll tell you who he sounds most like when we come back.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Something.
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Mass.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
Did you envision yourself playing the rest of your career in the Red Sox uniform and everything worked out well?
I mean, yeah, if everything works out well, you know, I love this place. I love Boston. And, you know, it's just one of those things where you just kind of have to see how it goes.
Welcome back, Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Dropping like flies around.
Yeah. We started with no Mike. Now we have no Maz.
We deleted Maz.
Yeah. So now it's just Murray and Hook for the time being until Maz comes back from, I think, recording a commercial.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. Or maybe he's squeezing one out. Who knows? But it is an agenda-free Friday here, 617-779-0985. That was Mookie Betts, who also spoke down at spring training yesterday. So you want to talk Red Sox. I opened up talking about Matt. Is it Kuchar? Either way, it's more about the story than it is about the particular golfer already getting chirped at. You're not pronouncing it right. What do you know about golf? I just know he's a cheap SOB. And then we had also Hook talking about what he would do with Manny Machado, adding him to the Red Sox. So weigh in on any of this, 617-779-0985. Welcome back, Maz. What were you doing?
Sorry, Murray is recording a commercial.
All right, multitasking.
My bad. So where did you leave off?
Just resetting what we were. Oh,
we played
about
a Mookie Betts soundbite that I think you wanted to react to.
Okay, well, you know what? Play it again.
This is a special.
Sorry, go ahead, Jimmy.
Did you envision yourself playing the rest of your career in the Red Sox uniform and everything worked out well?
I mean, yeah, if everything works out well, you know, I love this place. I love Boston, and you know, it's just one of those things where you just kind of have to see how it goes.
Okay, so Marshall touched on this in his opening thought at the beginning of the show, and he related it to Xander Bogaerts. And I have to say, Marshall, it's not a horrible idea. Go out and sign Manny Machado, trade Xander Bogaerts, who's a free agent at the end of the year anyway. And let's face it, you're going to pay Bogaerts what? I mean, to keep Bogaerts, it's going to be over $20 million a year, isn't it? Something of the like. I don't have his arbitration settlement in front of me, but I know it's a pretty good amount of money. And so, is Bogaerts really the kind of guy you want to commit big money to over a long period of time? I'm not sure how good Bogaerts really is. He's a good player. I don't know if he's a great player.
Well, in terms of pop, he had a great year last year, but is that just an aberration, you know?
Like, and you can't sign everybody.
Right.
Right? And right now, it is a buyer's market. And so, I don't know, maybe you get in on a guy like Machado and can do it. But Betts is up after next year. Betts has given you no indication at this point that he wants to sign. When you listen to him there, does he sound like a guy that's enthusiastic about playing in Boston? So we touched on this yesterday. Jimmy, if we could compare and contrast, do me a favor, though. Play Betts one more time. It's only the second time for me. It's the third time for everybody else. I missed it on the way back. But nonetheless, play it again. And to me, aside from the words, just listen to his tone. Okay, listen to Betts' tone.
Did you envision yourself playing the rest of your career in the Red Sox uniform and everything worked out well?
I mean, yeah, if everything works out well, you know, I love this place. I love Boston. And, you know, it's just one of those things where you just kind of have to see how it goes.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I love Boston. You know, it's just one of those things. Hold on, Marshall. Don't say anything yet. So, Jimmy, now let's go to David Price from yesterday.
How do you feel about your relationship with the Red Sox fans?
Good. I have no problems. You guys can drive that narrative if you want, but I'm ready to rock, ready to play. I have no problems.
Are you feeling the love of the parade?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so that's Price. Now let's play Chris Sale, and I don't know if this was from yesterday or 2 days ago, right? Chris Sale was basically asked the same question because his contract is up at the end of the year. Go ahead, Jimmy.
This is a special place. This is a special group of people, a very special city, and an unbelievable fan base.
Okay, so of those guys, right? Now, we talked about Price and Sale yesterday, and Felger actually made, I thought, a terrific point. Price has never come close to saying what Chris Sale said. Great city, tremendous fan base. We got a good group of guys. We got everything going here. I want to be here. Okay, I like this place. Price has never come close to saying that. Who did Betts sound like more?
Oh, Price.
Yeah, 100%. It's like he was reading the Kyrie Irving script from opening day in the NBA.
Yeah, do you believe him? Do you think that? So, because Betts said the right thing, right? I want to be here. I like it. You know, we'll see what happens. Do you believe him?
Do I believe that he wants to be in Boston specifically? No. Do I think he's looking at what's happened to Machado and Harper and says, maybe free agency isn't such a sure thing and maybe I might be interested in signing a long-term deal and foregoing that. I think that has more to do with it than anything.
Yeah, I'm with Hooker on this, and this is why David Price sounded the way he did, too. I think a lot of these guys were looking at the landscape the last couple of off seasons and saying, you know what, we got to get it while the getting's good, even if I don't particularly like the situation. I got to get this money because I'm not going to get it elsewhere.
So the market is a factor, there's no question. I mean, what we've seen in baseball free agency over the last couple of years really, to me, is unprecedented. Save for the collusion era, but given that the era that we're in with all the money in the game and everything else and, you know, local TV deals and local cable TV deals, et cetera, for the market to be as dry as it has been for as long as it has been, to me, is unprecedented in baseball. I can't ever remember.
Well, a few years ago, there was speculation that when Bryce Harper got to the market, he was going to get $500 million. Now he still can't find a job, and he's maybe talking to the Padres on a one-year deal. It's ridiculous.
I mean, it is. It's incredible. Okay, so it is a factor.
And it's a building block thing, because Mookie Betts needs these deals to be big for him to build off of that. Don't forget, the second largest deal ever signed, and I think it's the second and third largest deals, they still belong to Alex Rodriguez. They're still the biggest deals, other than your guy down in New York. So, I mean, what was that, 10 years ago?
Yeah, if not.
We haven't had a bigger deal than that in 10 years.
See, now, I don't believe Betts. I don't think Betts really does want to stay here. He's had every opportunity, and now, especially, you know, there'd be more of an opportunity. I'd be somewhat encouraged by the fact that he actually agreed to a deal with the Red Sox instead of going to an arbitration hearing this year, although they grabbed their ankles for him in the process. And that said, it also comes in a year where Mookie's being moved into the number two spot in the batting order, which he wanted. Mookie said that he loved to bat leadoff. All of a sudden, they moved him to the number two spot. Why, Murray? Tell us why.
Because they want to make him happy.
And he wants the number two spot because he wants more RBI opportunity.
Yeah.
Right?
You won't get him with Pedroia.
Because you're not going to get the kind of money that Mookie wants on the open market without the RBI. So you get to move him into the number two spot, which has become the trendy spot to, a lineup spot to hit in Major League Baseball. Mike Trout, Aaron Judge, et cetera, they all bat second. Fine. So they're going out of their way to keep Mookie happy, which is the right move. Chris Casper has a very interesting theory or strategy with Mookie Betts that, honestly, I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag. I want Casper to do it when he comes in at 4 o'clock. So you want to make sure that you're listening then, because I haven't heard anyone else throw this idea out there, and it was a good one. I think Mookie's gone. Okay, I think he's gone, which is further reason I don't dismiss Marshall's idea of going to get Manny Machado. You're going to need a bat in the middle of that lineup? Fine, Machado's a pain in the ass. He is. He's a dirtbag. Marshall, did you call him a dirtbag? You
called
him a dirtbag.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd still say you need guys who can hit. You need guys who can hit. And so if this safeguards you and gives you leverage against Bogarts and gives you leverage against Betts, so be it. I'm all for it. Mike's in New Hampshire on Anthony Davis. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, hi, guys. What I wanted to say is I don't really like this consensus opinion. It seems like that the Celtics get better if they get Anthony Davis. I think the guy's overrated. He's never really carried a team through the playoffs. He's injury prone. Right now, he's taken his team to 13th place in the Western Conference. They're 7 games below 500. I think right now the Celtics are almost there. I think they can almost beat the Warriors right now. And I just don't think Anthony Davis really makes you all that much better.
Hey, so, Mike, don't hang up. You still there?
Yeah.
This is a loose comparison, but work with me. What did you think of Shaq before he went to the Lakers? Did you think Shaq could lead a team to a championship?
I don't really know, to be honest.
Yeah. You know why you don't know? Because the answer is no. Because the answer is no. Because nobody in and of themselves alone can do it. So you can dump on Anthony Davis for not having a championship caliber pedigree, if you want, or being able to elevate the Pelicans. That's a better way to say it. You can dump on him if you want to do that. But the reality is, Shaq wasn't able to do it either. And he had Penny Hardaway in Orlando. He had more than Anthony Davis has had to work with. Then Shaq went to L.A. and he teamed up with Kobe and they started winning championships.
Well, I don't even know how good of a comp that is. No offense, only because...
No, it's a loose one, Murray. Well, it is.
At least he got to a finals with that Orlando team. I mean, all Davis has done is finally won one round this past year, and then they got their asses kicked in the second round.
Yeah, and I'll grant you that Shaq is better than Anthony Davis.
Sure.
I mean, Shaq's an all-timer. But the point is, in that league, even the greatest of the greats...
Oh, they need help.
And look at LeBron in L.A. right now. As good as LeBron is, how are the Lakers doing? Because he doesn't have anybody around him. Mike's in Connecticut. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi. Yes. I think that Anthony Davis saying that he doesn't want to come here hurts the Pelicans a lot as well. Not a lot of people are talking about this. Because now Danny Ainge can go to the Pelicans and say, well, I was going to give you Tatum, but, I mean, if the guy doesn't want to come here, he could package something in like Jaylen Brown and Tyson Smart. And maybe try and say, you know, is this offer better than the Lakers' offer still? Whereas if Anthony Davis did say he wanted to come here, they wouldn't be able to give, you know, Tatum. So that's where I think about it.
Okay, so, Mike, it's an interesting point, but at the end of the day, I think the Pelicans do what's best for the Pelicans. And so if Ainge, to me, that's one of those buy-as-is type of scenarios. The Pelicans look at it and says, hey, that's your problem. Do you want the player or not? And if the Celtics aren't willing to pay for the player, they don't get him. So the fact that he doesn't want to sign here, does that limit the market, Murray? I mean, isn't Ainge on record as saying basically that they'd make, I shouldn't say on record, but isn't the general perception of the Celtics that they would make the deal independent of whether Anthony Davis said he wants to resign here?
Yeah. Yeah, no, because I think that they're confident in their abilities to get him here and then figure it out later. They were proven to have done that before in Kevin Garnett's case. Granted, he was older, and you're always quick to bring that up, and rightfully so, but I think that's why they feel so confident about it. Like, get him here, we'll figure it out later, because it's worked with other players in the past.
I mean, to me, if you're the
Celtics... And I'm for that, by the way.
Yeah, I am... To me, if I'm the Celtics, first of all, you work the back channels. Okay, you sniff around, you talk to people that know Davis, who don't have access to Davis, and say, if Kyrie's here and we bring you here, what are the chances? Do you completely rule it out? And then you try to persuade him while he's here. Paul George has stayed with the Oklahoma City Thunder. None of us thought that would happen.
Because the Lakers didn't want him.
Okay, and let's see what happens. Let's see what happens with Kyrie.
I'm sorry, I should correct that. LeBron James didn't want Paul George.
Okay, he'd rather have who, Kawhi Leonard or Anthony Davis, one of those guys?
Probably.
I'm just saying. I'm asking.
He chose not to have Paul George on the Lakers.
Jimmy's got all the inside info on the NBA. But if I'm the Celtics, I still make the deal, especially if it helps me keep Kyrie Irving, which brings us to Kyrie. We'll get to him here and revisit some of the things he said. And also something that struck me this morning, watching some of the morning commentary just generally on the NBA. And I don't know why this pissed me off today, but it did. Marshall's Get Your Headlines. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
We need Kyrie to be the best version of ourselves. We all need to consistently play better as a group. But we've done that at times, and we've rode Kyrie in a lot of cases, and he's carried us in a lot of games, and we need everybody at their fullest, and there's no question about it. He's going to be a guy that is going to make a ton of plays for us moving forward. We just need him to get healthy.
It's Brad Stevens, obviously, coach of the Celtics, on Kyrie Irving and the importance of Kyrie Irving to the team. One of the popular topics this week was the idea that the Celtics are better without Kyrie Irving. And there's some semantics involved in there. Obviously, they have played better without Kyrie Irving on the floor sometimes. And this week, certainly they did. Gordon Hayward looked like a different guy out there without Kyrie Irving on the floor. Murray, very simple question, Jim Murray. Are the Celtics better off without Kyrie Irving?
No, they are not.
Why not?
Well, there's some statistical fact to back this up, courtesy of our old intern, Tucker. Yeah, Tucker. Who's a great follow on Twitter, by the way. He does a lot of good video stuff, at Tucker_TNL. And he just put this out just a little while ago.
I retweet the crap out of Tucker.
Same here. Kyrie Irving against the top 5 seeds in the East and West. 51.4% from the field. 40.6% from 3. 24.2 points. Nearly 7.5 assists. And nearly 5 rebounds in those games against the top 5 seeds in the East and the West. And in these 15 games, the Celtics are plus 66 with him on the floor and minus 41 without him. If you're into the plus-minus thing. It's just statistical fact right there. And just from an eyeball test alone, last game I went to against the Golden State Warriors a few Saturdays back. Yeah, he had a couple of bad turnovers in that fourth quarter, but without him, you get blown out of the building by Golden State. That fourth quarter was essentially him and Al Horford.
I'll even give it to you more recent. The game that they played against the Clippers, how did they look when Kyrie Irving was in the game? What happened when Kyrie Irving left? It went from them being up by 20-something points to their losing by 11. I mean, the difference can be pinpointed right to when he left that game.
Murray, read the bottom part of those stats again.
Starting from where? The
bottom part about the plus-minus.
In these 15 games, again, we're talking about the against the top five seeds in the East and the West in the NBA. 15 games. The Celtics are plus 66 with Kyrie Irving on the floor, minus 41 without him.
I mean, like, doesn't that number tell you everything?
Yes.
See, I think this blows me away. I think people totally get sidetracked on this because they look at the result of a regular season game against Detroit or even Philly, who, by all accounts, is underachieved. Like, we look at all those players on that Philly team, we say they should be better than they are. And the Celtics own Philly. So we look at two games there, and we like the way they play, and they do aesthetically. The Celtics look better against a team like Philadelphia. They do. Or they did this week. I mean, the whole thing worked better in a lot of ways.
That's a dumb team. Don't take the national narrative on the Philadelphia 76ers. They're overrated, and they're soft as the day is long.
I mean, to me, against the elite competition, you're not going to win without Kyrie Irving. I understand Felger's point. There are a lot of fans out there that take the cheese, and he discussed this earlier this week. I can't tell you how strongly I feel about it. The idea that you are better without Kyrie Irving, if you are a fan out there and you believe that, you really, really believe that they can beat a Golden State caliber team, or let's say the Spurs when they were winning championships, or Cleveland when they had Kyrie and LeBron. If you think that you could beat that kind of team, playing with the personnel the Celtics had on the floor the other night, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, just here's another eyeball.
I'd call you stupid, but that's mean.
Here's another eyeball test example. Game 7 Eastern Conference Finals last year, that second half where everyone gets tight and can't hit a shot to save their lives. If Kyrie's in that game, do they lose that?
No, they win it. They win it. Of course they win it. Pete's in Delaware. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, guys. So I agree with you about Kyrie and Anthony Davis. The problem I have is with Danny Ainge and his approach. One way he'll kiss Kyrie's tuchus. But he's going after Rich Paul. And it makes no sense because last night, Anthony Davis left the arena. The guy's never been a diva until he got Rich Paul. Rich Paul is controlling everything Anthony Davis does. And Danny Ainge doesn't seem to get it. He cannot keep going after this guy if he wants to get the job done. It's a new NBA, and Danny better just face it.
Okay, so Pete, I don't know if the comments that you're talking about, the ones that were out there, which indicated or suggested that Rich Paul was... What was the exact quote, Murray? Underhanded or something of the like?
Yeah.
That he was manipulating it and making it sound like Kyrie wanted to go to the Lakers and it was underhanded. Those comments were attributed to someone in the Celtics organization. We don't know for sure that it was Ainge.
Yeah, cheap and underhanded.
Cheap and underhanded is the way it was phrased. So I agree. I think the Celtics should just don't attack Rich Paul. Okay, the guy is in Anthony Davis's ear, but Rich Paul's not controlling the situation. Don't delude yourself. LeBron is. Rich Paul is LeBron's do-boy. LeBron's controlling the situation. LeBron's controlling the league, which is part of the problem right now. You have a star player in that league. The star player in that league throwing his weight around like no guy in history has ever thrown his weight around. Murray opened the show by talking about Matt Kuchar and the PGA Tour, if you missed that story. Mike's in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, the argument that a local caddy is owed the same compensation as a regular tour caddy whose whole life is disrupted by the sacrifice of being on the road 30 or 40 weeks a year, you know what, with no guarantees, is ridiculous. Okay, that guy, he makes $100 a day, okay? And he agreed to $5,000.
So you're pro cheap bastard then?
No, his name's Matt Kuchar, okay? So you're showing about as much knowledge in the PGA as you do with the NFL quarterbacks, okay?
So if it's customary to give 10% and you're a pro golfer, supposedly living by the many dumb rules of the PGA, why wouldn't you give the 10%? Instead, you would think the joy of victory
because
would
I just told you
that you would think that the joy of victory would swell this man's heart. Oh wow, I just won this tournament. A million plus.
So
no, now I have to give this backup. Ugh, I have to give him $130,000. Ugh. Oh God. Ugh. Can't enjoy the moment.
You know, hey Jim, you know what? The guy's not a caddy. He works at a freaking...
Then what was he doing that day? If he's not a caddy, what was he doing that day?
Listen to me.
He's the backup caddy. I'm not listening to you because you're cheap. You're cheap. No, you go out for $100, $100 dinner. $100 dinner, you're going to leave your server $5. You're cheap. You're pro-cheap. You're a cheap bastard. Just like Matt Kuchar, however you pronounce his name. I don't care. The moral of the story is he's cheap. And if you support him, you're also cheap.
Yeah, Jim, you don't know anything about golf, so you can't talk about tipping. You don't even know how to pronounce his name, so you don't know golf.
He had a customary moral obligation to give him 10% of his winnings. That's the rule of the PGA. But because he's a backup... Oh God! Now I gotta do this. Hey Matt, shouldn't you enjoy your game? Now I gotta give this guy $130,000. Ah, the hell with him. Now we agreed on $5,000. He's getting the $5,000.
So I happen to agree with Murray. I think it's one thing to cut a deal with a replacement caddy before the tournament begins, but then to adhere to it when you win the tournament. And how about what if I told you this? Where do you think Matt Kuchar ranks on the all-time career earning money list?
I was looking up the same thing.
He's won like $48 million or something like that, right?
He's 10th all time. Yeah. $44 million. Might be 46.
I mean, I have 46 in
front
of
me. Okay, my eyes are so bad, Marshall, that he's line 10 and I'm reading line 11. Like, I can't follow that all the way across the page. Seriously, that's pathetic. I have to put on glasses to be able to read that. I can't see that.
And that's likely not even including the sponsorship.
It's not including sponsorship. That's winnings. That's tournament winnings.
And how old a guy is he, by the way? Because he's not done earning.
35, 40?
How much has he earned since he stiffed the guy in Mexico?
He's also known for being, by the way, the best golfer in the world who has never won a major championship. But that's, you know, that's another story for another day. Marshall had a couple of opening takes today. You heard the one about Manny Machado that he had at the beginning of the show, if you were listening. If you didn't, I talked him out of the other one. But we'll touch on that next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We have people like Barnes, Brazier. We're looking that we both think have the abilities to do so. Thornburg has been a good closer in the past. We'll see how he is in the spring. His health is fine. We'll see if he can bounce back. Nobody has really seen to me Tyler Thornburg that was out there before he joined in Milwaukee. I know everybody's critical of the situation. I understand how the things go, but this guy was a really good pitcher. He's healthy. He feels great. Steven Wright's a possibility of a guy. He is depending upon how his health is. So we feel we have some internal options to go ahead and do that. And of course, we'll still keep an eye on what's taking place outside the camp, but we think our answers come from within.
Well, there's the know-it-all. I mean, the man with all the answers. I mean, Dave Dombrowski, president of Red Sox baseball operations.
Well.
Built himself a championship-caliber bullpen. Shoved it in our face last year and is selling us the same pile of malarkey this year. So, Marshall, you're a big baseball guy, for people who don't know. As a total aside, Marshall, what color was your hair growing up?
White, blonde.
Yeah. Because you pegged me as an albino.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
pretty much.
The albino, you strike me as the albino rhino.
Random observation.
Marshall Hook, like one of the most negative people on the planet, and angry on top of it. The albino rhino.
That's something coming from this show.
So how do you feel about the Red Sox bullpen, Marshall?
I think that it's not good at all. I think that there were a lot of guys who were available out there that they could have gotten. And all of this leads me to a fear, because Craig Kimbrell is still out there. And I think that they need more pitchers. And we all remember, of course, that in the beginning of the season, we heard from Craig Kimbrell's agent, who might as well be Scott Boras, but he isn't, that Kimbrell wanted 6 years and $100 million, right? And we all thought that that was ridiculous. So what my
and
fear...
It was,
and he's not gotten it. My fear now, though, is that the Red Sox, still in need of a closer, still in need of more relief help, are going to end up signing him to some deal like 4 years and $60 million and then call that a big discount because it's not 6 years and $100 million. And it's still way more than I would ever give for Craig Kimbrell. In 1 year, $10 million. That's about what I would pay for Craig Kimbrell.
Stop there for 1 second, because you just said 1 year and $10 million is what you would do. And so this, it just, when I saw your email this morning, it did sort of prompt a question in my head. Like, at what point would you say, okay, you know what, I'll take Kimbrell back? Marshall says 1 year and $10 million. Murray, do you have an opinion?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I would even do the four at 60, just because, look, and I understand, like, his playoff performance certainly didn't instill a lot of confidence in, I think, fans and probably the Red Sox, and why that's why he's not back. But he is nails in the regular season. You do have a hole there, and you're the Red Sox. I don't really want to hear this team bitch about money. If you can do that, and I do look at that as a bit of a discount, considering he did want six and 120, I would do it.
So yeah, so, but he wasn't nails at the end of last year's regular season. Your most recent evidence of him is not being nails.
And so this is the argument against. It's the postseason, the late season, and relief pitching, probably the most volatile position in baseball, right? A guy can be great 1 year and then just off the next. So I get it. I just feel like, again, you're the Red Sox. You have the money. You still have a hole there because we're now trusting, what, Barnes or Brazzers, you know? So I would rather have a guy that I know can do it.
So there are callers out there like Alan in Florida who calls the show regularly. Years ago, used to be Alan in Needham. I mean, he bugged the crap out of me back then. He still bugs me now even when we moved to Florida. Guy's 1,500 miles away and still bugs the crap out of me.
Always quick to call us idiots.
Nonetheless, though, I do respect his opinion, believe it or not, Alan. I do. And his passion, particularly for the Red Sox. He's a huge Red Sox fan. He gets mad at me for saying I don't want Kimbrell back. Marshall says 1 year and $10 million. I said, huh, that sounds pretty good.
But you're one of those people that...
I still don't want him back.
You're one of those people that gets lumped into those that were shook by the postseason performance, right?
Yes. Yeah. I just don't... The bottom line is, had I known the guy was this when they traded for him in the first place, I wouldn't have been all that eager to give up what they gave up for him. So now look, we saw him for how many years here? Four? Three? I don't even know how many years.
I think it was three.
Okay, so Kimbrell was here 3 years. And the 3 years I saw, I would say good, not great. You can find a guy to do what he can do. And
oh, there were stretchers he was great.
The truly great ones, though, distinguished themselves in the playoffs and in the big spots. In the high-pressure, high-leverage situations, and this guy did not. So, money's obviously always a factor. But honestly, I don't want him back for anything. I'm done with it. The guy's not what I thought he was. And so it's with me, with the Red Sox, I just as soon have them find the next guy. Now, Murray, 4 years and 60? I'm not doing anything remotely close to that. 1 and 10? That sounds like a reasonable deal. I don't like the idea of an eighth digit. So if it were $8 million, you could probably talk me into it. But the bottom line is, I don't want him. You know what 1 year does? It puts off the problem that the Red Sox have. Which is, they got to find the next guy anyway. Which is what this whole the dilemma for this whole organization right now is, sort of finding the next guy. Now what? How do we keep it together? Kimbrell was never going to be part of the long-term future. I don't want him. Go ahead, Marshall.
I was just going to say, Adam Ottavino got three at 27. So, you know, eight is probably a little cheap for Craig Kimbrell at this point, given that Adam Ottavino's getting nine per over three. So, you know, three at 30, maybe, you know, but still, I don't want him for more than a year because I'm concerned about what we saw at the end of last year. And Do we think that the market is suddenly going to explode a year from now for whatever he is, 34-year-old closers? I don't think so. So even if you signed him up for 1 year, you could probably get him again next year if you really wanted him.
I don't trust him in a big spot any more than I trust Matt Barnes in a big spot, by the way. And with regard to Barnes, you can say, well, yeah, what about the playoffs last year? And what I would tell you is, well, when the eighth inning came around, you know what the Red Sox did? They still gave it to Eovaldi, Porcello, Price, Sale. The bottom line is, as much as the Red Sox want to tell us they believe in those guys, there's a psychological element to pitching in the eighth or ninth inning of a big game. Some guys can do it and some guys can't. And the Red Sox don't believe that Barnes can. Now, maybe they're going to try to have him figure it out during the regular season, like he's made some sort of major step in his development or evolution as a pitcher. Maybe they're right. Maybe I think Brazier's got the balls to do it. That guy's got the balls. And more importantly, he's got the control. He throws strikes. Barnes walks too many guys for my liking. But I'm okay with them going the way they're going to try to see what they got out of Brazier. But their bullpen right now is not good enough. Steve's on 95. Go ahead, Steve.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Naz, I wanted to ask you, if you were to, loose comparison for you, I know it's not a good comp, but if you were to compare Brad Stevens to the manager of the Yankees, Aaron Boone, you think the two got a few similarities that were
well, like what, Steve?
Not too thrilled about?
Yeah, like what strikes you as similar?
Well, Aaron Boone's kind of, you know, he had a pretty good team last year, failed to meet expectations. There's a lot of buzz. Celtics kind of had the same thing, and just the way he seems to handle the players, I don't know.
Okay, before I give you my two cents, let me ask Murray, because Murray's a big Aaron Boone critic.
Well, I just think he sounds like Hermie the Elf.
Yeah. Well... Yeah.
Is it a fair comparison or not, Brad Stevens and Aaron Boone?
You know, look, I mean, you saw Gary Sanchez take a big dip with the Yankees last year before, you know, it was, it was the manager there before him who got fired unceremoniously.
Joe Girardi.
Thank you. Yeah, he was getting the most out of him, and he knew how to push those buttons, and half the reason he lost the job is because he was a red ass, right? So it felt more loose there last year, and some of the bigger personalities like Sanchez, they dip with Stevens. Seems like as good as he is with the whiteboard and drawing up plays... Does he really have his finger on the pulse of this team? I mean, and what a disappointment they've been overall for most of this season.
How about game management?
Oh, game management. No, you can't compare because at least Brad Stevens knows how to be a game manager and draw up plays, and he has his finger on the pulse that way. Boone, he's a moron.
Aaron Boone never did anything. Yeah, never managed anywhere. He never nothing. I mean, you and me could manage the Yankees the way he managed the Yankees. Mm-hmm. So to compare him to Brad Stevens in that way is patently just absurd.
It's insulting is what it is to Brad Stevens.
I was just about to say, Murray, I think it's an insult to Stevens. Look,
when it comes to managing egos, I think you could maybe make a case,
sure.
Right? But in terms of strategy, Boone's an idiot.
Oh my God. I think I look at the two of them and I say, I think Stevens is sharp. Stevens' smart guy. He's a great X's and O's guy. Fabulous. The whole personality and egos thing, he probably gets in his car and drives home some night and says, I can't believe I signed up for these a-holes. Like the superstars in particular, he must be looking at it going, because in college, when you're the coach in college, you have all the power. It's all about you. I mean, you're the only constant in the program. Everything else changes. Then you come to the NBA and you get a bunch of misfits and retreads, guys who are trying to prove themselves, and you think this is pretty good, pretty comparable. I still have the power. Then Kyrie walks in the door and you say, I can't believe I have to deal with this guy. Holy crap. No commercials here. Marshall's got your headlines, and we will be back with more of in your calls of Agenda Free Friday.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.